Our scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, and then 16 to 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed to us this way. God sent the only Son into the world so that we might live through Jesus. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent Jesus to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we might have boldness on the day of judgment, because as God is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say that they love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the living word of God. Thanks be to God.
This scripture is one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. It's actually the scripture that we read at our wedding when Eileen and I got married. Because this idea of loving one another as God has loved us, because God has loved us, is really central to the covenant that we have as a family and as a family of faith to one another and with God.
Indeed.
And so there was a family in the ancient world who was trying to figure out their identity that this scripture came up from. The Johannine letters, as they're called, are the John 1, John 2, and John 3. Are a set of letters that are in our scriptures that don't often get talked about, and this passage is probably the most famous from the entire section of those three epistles. And one of the reasons they're not talked about so much in the tradition is because they're a very mysterious set of letters. In fact, they're not really sure if they are all written by the same person and with the purpose of being written together in this kind of a series.
Right.
They got canonized in our scriptures in a certain way, in an order, 1, 2, and 3, but we're not sure that that's even the correct historical order that they were written in.
Right.
And we have no idea why they're named the letters of John, because the person who wrote the letters only identifies themselves in John 2 and John 3, not in John 1, as the elder. Yeah, so we have no idea really who authored it, but we do have an idea of why it was authored and where and the subjects of who it was authored for. The scholars tell us that it was probably written to a community of churches who had in their presence the Gospel of John, and that was their guiding text for their community. And so they were experts on the Gospel of John. In fact, there are other scholars who say that this was a group of disciples of the disciple of John living in community together. And in probably the area of either Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, or Palestine. They're not quite sure which region held this ancient community, but there was a community of about 7 churches that they believe that this text was written for, because this group was really searching for an identity to understand themselves, because they weren't quite what the church was at that time. This was written in about 100 Common Era, so about 70 years after the life of Jesus. And it's written, and so they've kind of developed on their own, not quite a part of what the new church is, but not quite not a part of what the new church, Christian faith is looking like. So they're searching to figure it out.
I think they're also struggling against the false teachings and the false prophets that were among them, were telling them the rules and regulations of what this new community must look like. And instead of following that, they were trying to identify themselves over and against the culture in which they found themselves. So they wanted to be identified as something other or something different than the culture in which they were coming up to be in. That sounds familiar.
It does, right?
It sounds familiar for us as a community of faith.
For sure. And John Wesley, the founding father of the Methodist Church, when he reflected on the epistles of John, he said that the epistles of John, in particular John 1, was a wonderful text written for its contemporaries that will continue to influence the generations following, that it will always be something that guides the Christian church from the time it was written till today. And I think that if we look at this scripture together, we can see how it guides our principles in our church when we try to live out our vision of embracing everyone for deep, meaningful connections to grow closer to God and transform lives.
Now, I would say that this letter, these words in this scripture don't hold back. They don't hold back. They are very direct. Did you hear that line that said, "For those who say they love God but hate their brothers and sisters are liars"? Like, outright, just, they're simply liars. They're not doing it. They're not getting it. They're not being who God has created them to be or calling them to be in the world. This is pretty pretty out there.
Pretty bold.
Pretty bold. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. It's really bold for them to say this. And it's even bold for us to claim this now. And this love that we claim isn't a Hollywood version of love. This isn't a Disney princess-themed love, Let It Go, or whatever that song is. this is a kind of love that takes deep theological reflection. This is a kind of love that takes deep biblical commitment. This is a kind of love that's circular, that starts with God and then goes to us, and then we share it with others so that they too can connect with God. This is a working, hardworking kind of love that we're called to.
It's the kind of love that our church is about. We've been about for generations and for years together. We see this love happening in the ministry such as the Flood Bucket Collection that we're doing right now, when we're actively working to serve our brothers and sisters down in Florida and the other...
In Texas
and the other areas around those states that are being affected by the hurricanes. We see this reciprocal and circular love in the way that we join together in our core values as a church. That's why we'll be focusing on these values so that we might understand how we live out this love together. Our beautiful new piece of artwork highlights for us the key phrases and words of our idea of how we live this love out. We embrace one another. That comes right from our vision statement, embracing everyone. We are inclusive for all people. We do justice. And we love one another as a family of God. This is who we are. We see it all the time when we join together in small groups and sit around each other's dinner tables to have meals together and talk about whatever is happening in our lives so that we might support one another.
Or when I go to visit Clayton and I'm told how many of you who have been by to see him, and it is family. It is family to him and it's family to us. Yes.
We see it all around us. May we continue to be such a church that emulates inclusivity, justice, love, and family in all that we do so that the world might know who we are. That when we leave this space, we're not just those Methodists who are good at eating food, because let me tell you,
we are.
Or good at having rummage sales. I was actually out just this week at Home Depot to buy the paint for our lovely new piece of artwork. And the woman there who was selling me the paint, we were talking about being from a church and this being a church project. She said, "Oh, what church are you at?" I said, "Oh, I'm the pastor at the Methodist church in town." I always say that with pride because you guys are awesome. And she said to me, "Oh, I know that church. they're the ones who are great at rummage sales, aren't they? So
one's coming up in October.
True. I'm happy to be known as that church, but I'm even prouder to be known as the church where we do justice, love each other, and are a family of God. May that be what people say to me at the paint counter in Home Depot next time I go there.
And may people see God in us. The scripture reminds us that we don't necessarily see God, but we see God in the way we treat one another. We see God in the ways we act, behave, and carry ourselves in the world. This scripture is meant for something. This scripture is meant to be lived into so that others will know the love of God. What better message could the world have right now than a diverse body of Christ? A diverse body, a diverse family that gathers together in the name of Jesus to do the hard work of loving our siblings and being justice in this world.
May we go into the world as bearers of this light, as people who love each other because God has loved us for no other reason, only because God loved us, so that the world might know God's love. That is how we will restore homes in Florida and in Texas. That is how we will restore the broken lives of the people in this room and the people around our community. That is how God's reign will enter the world, because we love one another with this circular, reciprocal love that gives for no other purpose than that God has already given to us. Amen.